The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
The way to feasting, okay? The way to feasting. And our theme scripture that we're using is the book of Psalms, verse 34, verses 8 through 10. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus the Lord, we thank You that You are here. Your Spirit is manifest in our midst. Lord, we are confident that all the things that we have brought to Your throne of grace this morning will be accomplished according to Your resources and not according to ours. And now as we study Your Word, we just pray that You would energize our spirit, our hearts, our minds, that we might understand what it is that You, the Spirit of God, would say to us, the Church of God, in this place, this day. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. As I told you last week, we're about to embark on a great journey. And all great journeys are filled with lots of good things. They're filled with adventure. They're filled with challenges. They're filled with joy. And they're filled with difficulties. So we are embarking on this great adventure, and we're going to do it together. And I love the idea of doing things together. That way we have this commonality. We have this common experience that we can relate back to. I am convinced, and please don't burst my bubble. I don't want you popping my bubble. But I am convinced that by the end of January the 26th, we will have so many awesome stories of the mighty power of God moving in our lives and in our family, in our neighborhood, that we will just be bursting inwardly with the great joy of having seen God do some wonderful things. That's the adventure. That's the feasting of it all. But it is a journey that not everyone will make, unfortunately. It's kind of like the Lord puts out the invitation. He desires for the whole world to be saved, but the whole world won't do it. But I want you to be praying earnestly about your participation in this great event. As I told you last week, for imagery, we see the picture of the banqueting table that is mentioned in the 23rd Psalm, where it says that the Lord prepares a table before us. And we always think of food. And I believe that there are other things that are on that table that we will feast of, and there are broken habits, a sickness that's destroyed, enemies that are scattered, emotional healing, new life direction, revival, sins, strongholds shattered, finances that will flourish, debt disappearing, spiritual growth, new nearness to God, and an intense love and relationship with God by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's just some of the things that we're going to experience in January and throughout the entire year. So I am just overwhelmed. I wake up in the morning thinking about this. I go to bed at night thinking about it. It's permeating my entire thinking process. I've never been so overwhelmed with a concept as I am about this concept of our journey together. So that's what we're going to be doing. And last week I began the sermon series, and I titled it, Why Does Fasting Lead to Feasting? And I shared with you the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, Don't you love that word? I urge you. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow, what a powerful passage of Scripture. And I started off last week by telling you the first point in the sermon is that in this adventure, you will remember your dependence on God. Now, I have purposely not told you what the adventure is up until this point because we are going on a fast. Now, most people think of fasting, they fast for a day. People who are really sold out and really desperate for God have gone on 3-day fasts. Only the insane in Jesus would even consider fasting for 21 days. Well, welcome to the asylum. Because that's what we're going to do. And we're doing it by faith. And I've talked to several of you, your energy is building me up. Some of you are really getting the message that this is something that God wants to do. I am convinced that in this crazy world that we're in, that if we don't do something drastic that breaks out of the mold, there's no telling what's going to happen in our individual lives or in our churches or in our communities, in our country and in the world. I believe that we are, by definition, what the Old Testament refers to as a remnant. There's always a remnant of people who are foolish enough to believe God. I don't know of another church in this community, and I hope I'm wrong, but I hope there are other churches in our community that get this message and get this vision and will be bold enough to do something as insane as to ask their people to fast for 21 days. Now, don't worry about the how-to yet. I'll show you how-to as soon as God tells me. But I'll tell you how we're going to do it. But right now, we just need to know what we're going to do. You know, Paul said that he kept his eyes on the prize before him. So we're looking at the prize. We're not looking at the journey. The journey will be good. There'll be great memories. It'll be fun. It'll be hardship. And it'll be difficult. All those things will take place. But we look forward to the prize that's set before us. And I believe the prize is going to be awesome. I told you last week, I would encourage you not to make any major decisions until after we're finished this fast. I would postpone everything in my life. I've got everything on hold. I'm not making any decisions until after we're finished this fast. I'm telling you, if I had to go to surgery, unless I was going to die, I'd tell the doctor, hold up until January, the end of January. I'm serious. I mean, if you've got a serious medical problem, you need to get it taken care of. Go ahead and get it taken care of. If you're having a heart attack, it's okay to go to the hospital. Don't wait till the end of January, all right? Do it now. But I'm telling you, if you can, if there's a possibility, I'd hold off on everything and give God an opportunity. I am convinced that great and wonderful things are going to happen. And in my life, the way God always does something, He always gives me a nugget or a kernel or something that kind of gets me going. And last Sunday, to most of us, you know, when I said earlier that Dawana got a healing in her eyes, and you say, oh, well, that's nice. Let me tell you what, if it was your eyes that got healed, it wouldn't be all right. You'd be shouting just like she was. Amen. You know, it's a miracle when something happens that the medical world couldn't do, and God jumped in and did. Amen. And I've got to tell you, what a great man of faith I am. And I've been thinking about Dawana, and I haven't talked to her since last Sunday, and I was kind of with a little fear and trepidation, just wondering, I wonder if it's still working. And then I saw her sitting there, I said, well, I'll just ask her publicly, you know, and to know that God, what God does is still here. So I'm convinced that there are going to be strongholds in our lives that are broken, healings that are going to take place, deliverance is going to take place, family members that are going to be healed. This is going to be an awesome time. I would encourage you to encourage everyone you know to join us in this fast. Whether they go to this church or anything, or they don't go to this church, that doesn't matter. The real inspiration for this came from a guy by the name of Jensen Franklin. He can't even spell Jensen, J-E-N-T-E-Z-E-N. I've never seen it spelled that way before. But He, in his church, has been fasting for 21 days every January for the last 7 years. And it has transformed him as an individual. His church has grown, but that's not the point. The point is to begin the year with this fast. This book I have in my hand is a journal that he has produced. This is the first year that it's been put out. And it has 21 days of wonderful, wonderful information in it that will help you as you fast. Each day has got a special theme, and we're going to follow this. This will be our kind of our outline. And for 21 days, he's got day one, getting started. Every journey begins with that first step, all right? Excuse me. In your mind, the first step is you're going to decide to do this, okay? Number two, hungering for living bread. Number three, getting past your quitting point. Let me tell you what, I know this for a fact because I've done this. I've had some extended fasts, not nearly that long. 3 days. If you get through 3 days, you got it made. All right? That's the wall. After that, your body will feel better. You'll feel better. In fact, you're going to do better physically. Some of you, and I've heard some say, well, yeah, we'll fast for 21 days. We'll lose some weight. Let me tell you what, if you may lose some weight, but that's not the point. The weight you want to lose is the world's weight. You know, you want to gain some spiritual fatness and lose some of the things that have been hanging on to our lives. Targeting your prayers, fasting and praying, God's delights in revival, feeling the feet on the Word, walk with God. I'm not going to read through all 25 of them, but the one I like probably best is day 21. It's your final day. I want to get these books for you. They're not cheap. They're going to cost somewhere between $15 and $17 to $20. I'm not real sure. I'm going to try to get some discounts on it, but I'm going to order them by faith. And but you're going to have to pay for them, okay? So I'll let you know what they cost when we get them in, but that won't be a problem. But this is really good. I'm really high on this guy and because I believe he has a vision to do something that's steps out of the ordinary. And it's really inspired me. In fact, much of what I'll be preaching and teaching in the next six sermons in this subject is gleaned in great part from what Jensen Franklin has written in some of his books and some of his other things. In fact, I believe Summer said you got the book Fasting. He has a book about it, and I really encourage you to go. You can pick it up. Even at Sam's has got it, or any of the bookstores, you can pick up the book Fasting, okay? What's that? No, I'm just by faith going to get it because everybody here is going to be fasting for 21 days. All right? I'm not asking for a show of hands yet. You know, and my good friend Tom Thornhill, he was an attorney. One thing you never want to do is ask someone on the witness stand a question that you don't know the answer to. Isn't that true? When I ask the question, who's going to do it? I want to know for sure who's going to be doing it there. And I'm not ready for that right now. Okay? You're not ready for it. This is just an introduction. Everybody else is singing Christmas carols, and we're talking about fasting. How do you like that? All right. So, but anyway, when this starts off, when you begin your fast, you begin to remember your dependence on God. Our lives so often are just out of control. We're oppressed and depressed and bewildered. And what in the world is going on in our lives and in our world? And this will help us to remember our dependence upon God and stop relying on our own ability. Haven't you figured out by now that you can't do it? You know, the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man. And here's the rest of that. It says, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. The way that seems right. So it's going in the wrong direction. So we will be focused during this time of fasting and remember our complete dependence on God. And stress, when hard times come, we find ourselves running to God. We haven't spent much time with God. I talked to you last week about little arrow prayers. We just shoot an arrow prayer every once in a while towards God. God, help me get a good parking place. God, let me feel better. Lord, take care of Aunt Mary or Uncle John or whoever it may be. But we don't earnestly pray and fast and seek God. And when disaster happens, we run to God and we wonder why He doesn't run us. You know? Well, we haven't prepared ourselves. We've been living our own life in our own way. And one of the things that fasting will do, it will remind us of our dependence upon Him. Fasting with prayer launches us into the spiritual realm. Some of you want to get close to God. Some of you remember what it was like when you were close to God and you've drifted so far away from that. And you want to get back to where you were. This is the way. Walk you in it, all right? This is the way back to where you want to be. I'm telling you. You have a remembrance of what it's like to serve God. And you're looking for that again. I'm telling you, this will bring you back to this place. You know, the really good thing about this, you know, many times things happen in our lives, and I've heard people say this, well, God did that to get my attention. Well, the nice thing about this is you're doing this to get God's attention in a way. You know, this is a voluntary thing. There's no, well, there's a little duress. I guess I would use a little duress. There's a little bit of pressure on you, but it's really your will bending to the will of God and being willing to do this. All right? So, let me pick up with point number two of our sermon for today. Why does fasting lead to feasting? It's you return to your first love. Let's look at the first part of verse 2 in chapter 12. Do not conform any longer. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Don't conform, or do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The first thing that will change for you in a fast is the tempo of life. Things will slow down. Right now, between, say, 7 a.m. and 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you're busy about life's business. You don't think much about it, you know. You kind of look and say, oh man, the morning's gone. When you are fasting, the clock stops. You will know every minute of every hour between 7 a.m. and 12 noon. Because you know that at 12 noon, there will be nothing waiting for you. And it'll just tick, tock, tick, tock. You'll look at the clock a million times. Life will do what you want it to do. It will slow down. How many of you have said this? Life's going by too fast. Everything is just rushing by. You know, I don't have enough time to do what I want to do. You know, it's just going on and on and on. You feel like the hamster on a treadmill, you know, inside that little bit of your wheel, running and running and running and running, and you fall off of the thing exhausted, and you've got nothing done and nothing accomplished, and you're so aggravated with yourself and with life and what's going on in our world. That is going to change during this fast. Because you will find yourself with more time. Now, what will you do with that time? You will pray. This is not a fast for your body. This is a fast for your spirit. And the companions are prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And I'll give you some more details of all the minutiae that we will go through. But prayer and fasting. The nearness of God will stir up your love for God once again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger. When's the last time you hungered and thirsted for God? You get hungry every day, all day long, don't you? In fact, we get too hungry all day. You know, we can't be satisfied with just breakfast, lunch, and supper. We've got to have something in between, right? That's why the devil created potato chips and Twinkies and chocolate and all the other stuff that we gorge ourselves with during the time between meals. We want something to drink. One of the most interesting things that I find in our society today is that when we're babies, our mamas give us little baby bottles and we suck on those things. We got rid of the baby bottles and we traded them in for water bottles. Most of you can't leave the house without a water bottle these days. You've got to have one of those things. You got to make sure you get a little taste of water. In fact, I'm going to just drive you a little crazy. I'm going to have a little drink myself. You know, we thirst and hunger for the things of this world. But when's the last time you hungered and thirsted for God? That you were willing to do whatever it takes to get that thirst and that hunger satisfied. I told the story before, but it's worthwhile repeating in this context. Many years ago, when I was young and foolish, many of you would think that was yesterday, but it's, you know, many years ago, I had some... You see, I'm kind of a city boy, and I moved over here to the country, and I'm not much of a country boy, but I started going to a church with a bunch of country boys who took me hunting. And I'm not much on hunting, but I thought it would be like going to the park where the squirrels would sit up on a tree and just wave at you and just shoot them. You know, that's what I thought it was. I didn't know you had to go through the woods. Well, I had this friend of mine. His name was Herbie, and Herbie took me hunting up in Wiggins, Mississippi. He ran me through the woods. I'm telling you what, I went under stuff and over stuff and through stuff that I didn't know existed. And we didn't have any water bottles. We didn't have nothing but me, Herb, and two rifles, shotguns. I got so thirsty. I was panting. And this was, after about 5 hours of running through the woods, I didn't see anything but Herb. I was just following him. I didn't know where I was. I didn't see any squirrels, no ducks, no bears, no deer, no nothing. But we broke into a clearing, and in a clearing was two men and two young teenage boys. And they had set up a little tent and a little campsite, and they were obviously spending time there. And as we broke into the clearing, this one little bit overweight boy reached into an ice cooler and pulled up a 2-liter bottle of Coke and began to turn the top on that thing. And I knew my gun was loaded. I was getting some of that Coke one way or the other. I was so thirsty, I'd have shot him just to take that 2-liter Coke. I'd still be in jail for that. I was so thirsty. But what about thirsting for God? When's the last time I was that way about God? Willing to do whatever it took to quench that thirsting of my soul. Think about it. When did you hunger for God? And it says in that passage of Scripture, if we'll hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. Your mind during this fast will begin to focus on Him instead of this world. We have been conformed to this world. We're like dough put in a bread mold. And the pressures and the heat have created something in our lives that I don't believe God is a real part of. We've become so worldly that we don't even notice it about ourselves. One of the things that happened to me, I lived in Houston for 6 or 7 years, I believe it was, if my mind serves me right. And I got I was in a kind of an international group at the Manned Spacecraft Center as they were trying to send a man to the moon. And I met people from all over the country, and actually all over the world. And we became friends and had the dialogues and everything. And when I would come home to Louisiana, to the New Orleans Slidell area, I always thought it was amazing how strange people spoke. They had these weird accents around here. And I lived here all my life and never heard them until I got away from here. You know? And now that I'm back in here, I know that I sound just like I did before I left here. And I can't help it. I'm just conformed to this place. And it's not bad. I mean, everybody knows I can't pronounce anything right. You know? Neither can you. It's okay. You know, we're just the way we are. And especially, I know some of these folks from Tennessee come down here and say, well, these people talk weird. You know, what are they saying? But it's to conforming, and we don't even realize it. And that's what happened to our lives. We've been conformed to this world. The church has done that. It's hard to find a church that looks like the body of Christ anymore. We look like the Lions Club or some other social organization. Heaven forbid that God would show up and do something weird. And those of you who are our guests, and I appreciate you being here. I mean, Miss Liz is one of my favorite people in all the world, and she spoke out a message in tongues. And if you haven't heard that before, you're wondering, what are you doing in this place? What kind of weird place is this that would happen? That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to see more and more gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest. And I believe that during our time of fasting, that's exactly what we're going to see. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting off track a little bit, but let me bring this to you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, and go read them in Corinthians, that says that they are a manifestation of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God moving and making His presence known. That's what those gifts are. But what we've done is we've so conformed to the world that we've stifled and kept those manifestations of the Holy Spirit from flowing through us. And what we need to do is get those walls broken down, and which we will do, so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through us again. You got that? Do you understand what I'm saying? As we go on this fast, your worries will begin to diminish because your trust in God will sharpen. You know all the things you're worried about right now? You won't be so worried about them. In fact, the only thing you're really going to be worried about is that trying to find some food. Then your stomach will help you along that path. And it will growl. It will make fun. Don't go to the dentist during this time. Because when you're in that dentist chair, that poor dentist is going to have to listen to your stomach growling and wonder what's going on.
You can't even tell.
Yeah, right. But your thing in this world will begin to diminish. And you'll be looking for God. Every hunger pain, every cold sweat, every loss of energy should be a signpost for you to look to God. That's the purpose of it all. We're not trying to bribe God. What we're trying to do is bring our physical, normal activities to a low level so that our spiritual level can rise up. It can build up. And that's exactly what will happen. It will begin to rise up. And you'll begin to trust in God even more. And your worries will start to diminish. You won't be so worried about every little thing. By the way, I would suggest this is parenthetically. I would suggest that during this period of time, we're only asking for 21 days out of your whole blooming life. You know, do some things that are different, like turn off that television set that's feeding you with a lot of negative things. You know something? Man, I hate to tell you this, but the world is going to spin whether you watch Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or listen to Rush Limbaugh or all the other. It will spin without you listening to it. It'll go on. In fact, you will be happier not knowing every little thing that happens. Our world has gotten so good with news. The other day, I happened to turn on the TV set, and the news program is going. They're showing a boat burning in some marina somewhere. And I thought, how bad has it gotten? That some poor soul's boat's on fire, and they broadcast it across the whole nation? Is that so important? But that's exactly what happens. And so we're inundated with these things. So we need to focus on the Lord, and when we do so, our worries will diminish. Prayer will become easier for you. If I ask most of us in this room to get together, get on your knees, and pray for an hour, you would go berserk. You would be fortunate if you give 15 minutes in for most of us. And if I ask you to pray for an hour, that would be hardship beyond measure. But what happens during this fast, you'll find that your ability and your desire, your thirst for prayer will increase. And here's the remarkable thing. Right now, most of us, when we go to God to pray, what do? We bring a list. And we got a list of things that we want. And that's not bad, but that's what we do. But one of the things that's going to happen, and this is going to be on the internet, so you go back and listen to it later, and you'll say, gosh, your pastor was right about that. Your prayers will turn into praise. You'll find yourself wanting to praise God more than you want to ask Him for stuff. That's one of the remarkable things that will happen during this prayer, this fasting time. Your prayers will turn into praise. The second thing, or another thing, is that reading the Scriptures will come alive and begin to speak to your heart. I want you to get into the Scriptures during all this extra time you've got. You're going to have plenty of extra time. Believe me, the clock slow down. Everything slow down for you. You'll have plenty of time to read the Scriptures. And don't go to speed reading class. Begin to meditate on the Word and do this. Ask God, what does this mean to me? And if you will ask God that, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal things for your life to you through the Scriptures, all right? So you'll be praying, you'll be reading the Word. You will begin to be spiritually transformed. Your mind needs to be cleared. And it's not going to get cleared in your normal course of life. If we don't do this, you're going to be the way you are today is the way you'll be at the end of January. But if you do this, your mind will begin to be transformed because you'll be getting new thought patterns. You'll be getting them from praying. You'll be getting them from the Word. But more importantly, you'll be getting them from the Holy Spirit, who will be washing your mind, renewing your mind. We all want our minds renewed. The only way to really get it successfully done is through a time of fasting and prayer. You'll get new thought patterns. You'll get some ideas and concepts that you never had before. These are things that the Holy Spirit will bring to you. Now, I've got to say that you won't have any idea what I'm talking about at the end of January if you don't join in. I told you last week, and I'm going to repeat myself for those of you who weren't here and for those of you who can't remember. If your life is perfect, if you've got the best prayer life you ever that you want to have, and it's great, if you know enough of the Word of God, and that's working for you, if you're as healthy as you want to be, if your family's as good an order as it possibly can be, if you've got all the finances you need, if everything's going really, really, really good for you, then you need to go on this fast. Because you need to be with us, as I told you last week, because we need some help. The rest of us need help. We need somebody with that kind of power to be praying for us and with us. But if you're like most of us and life is not what you want it to be, and I know I can go seat to seat down at this place, everybody here that I know, I know some of the things you're praying about and some of the things that are going on in your life, some things that you're not happy about. This is your moment in time to do this. Many years ago, in another life, I was in a business with someone. It was selling cosmetic franchises, and it was a pyramid scheme business. And the guy who was leading it, his name was Lee Williams. He owned the company. We would go, and we had a private plane, and we'd travel all over the south part of the nation, and we would put on these to hundreds and hundreds of people. We'd put on these big, what they call opportunity meetings, and Lee Williams, with the tone of a preacher crying, would say, "This is your opportunity. You will never be able to sit and look at your wife and say to her, you never had a chance. You'll never be able to sit down and look your children in the eye again and say, your old daddy never had a chance. This is your opportunity to break through financially." And those are great words of wisdom from that man. The scheme was a little shaky, the business, but that was a truism. And this is true for you today. You'll never be able to look in the mirror again and say, well, I never had a chance to really get close to God. The opportunity was never there. This is your chance. This is our chance together. This is for you and for me to do something that's so extraordinary that it will change our very lives. But if you don't join in, you will never know what it's all about. You can never know this vicariously. You can never really understand it from somebody else's testimony. It's something that you must do for yourself. This is for you. This is for your life, for your family. And you will discover yourself returning to the very first love that you began with. The last thing I want to talk to you about is that why does fasting lead to feasting? Because you resolve to seek His will. Let's look at the last part of verse 2 in chapter 12 of Romans. That word "then" is there for a reason. Then, why then? After verse 1. When we're no longer conforming, we're offering our bodies as a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. Then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That word "test" is an interesting word. I went and looked it up to see that I get a feel for it. And it's to scrutinize something to see if it's genuine. You know, if you buy a ring at a garage sale and it looks like a diamond and you just got it for $5 and you want to make sure, you bring it to a jeweler, and with the skilled eyes of a jeweler, he will look at that thing through his magnifying loop, and he will tell you whether or not that is a real diamond or whether it's just carnival glass. In the same way, through a fast, you will be able to understand through scrutiny what God's will is. The number one question that I get asked over and over and over again through the ministry is this: I want to know God's will for my life. How can I know it? Don't get mad at me, but you won't know God's will living the way we're living today. We won't know it. You won't be able to find it because you're too cluttered with too many other things. But through this, then, after you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, then you will be able to scrutinize, look at, and approve. I like that. You will approve what God's will is. You will understand it. It will be yes, amen. See, what happens is we're so busy doing our will that we don't want to do God's will. Oh, we give lip service to it, but the truth is we really don't want to do it. Why? Because we're afraid of what God might ask us to do. When I was in seminary, and we always had chapel services, and they'd always bring in these great speakers, and once a month they'd always bring in a great missionary from somewhere. And whenever the missionaries came, I was scared to death that I was going to, you know, raise my hand and volunteer to go to who knew where. And I'd always, on those special days, I'd get my seminary buddies around me, and I'd get in the middle of the pew, and I always told them, I said, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, don't let me out of this pew. Because I'll be in Africa or Egypt or who knows where I'll end up, you know. Because I knew that may be God's will for me to do that, and I didn't want to do it. And I was in the seminary. And that's an extreme example of the way we are sometimes. Do we really want to know God's will? And if the answer to that is yes, then through this fast you will discover God's will, and you will not be afraid, nor will you resist doing what God's called you to do. You will do it gladly. When God called me in the ministry, I didn't want to do it. I had every reason in the world to convince God that I shouldn't be doing what He asked me to do. I said, Lord, there are smarter people. No amens, please. There are smarter people. There are better looking people. No amens, please. There are more dedicated people. There are other people who have a less tainted life. Lord, I've got too much bad stuff in my life that I could never be in the ministry. See, I didn't want God's will. But during that period of time in my life, Pat and I fasted often. And we prayed often. And it was during those times that my will broke to follow His will. And when the day finally came, when the Holy Spirit put such enticement in front of me, that I finally said, "Lord, I'll tell you what, here's the deal. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go. I'll say whatever you ask me to say, but I will not do anything of my own will and intentions." I made that commitment to the Lord. I keep that commitment to this very day. I don't do anything God tells me to do. That God tells me not to do, and I do everything as I understand it that He asked me to do. And that works. It's worked for me all these many years. But there's something wonderful that happens when our will gets conformed to His during times of fasting and praying. Now, one thing about conforming to this world took you some time to get where we are, didn't it? It's taken time. It's taken months and days and years and decades to get where we are. This is no magic potion that, you know, suddenly after 21 days, you're going to have it all together and then you say, "Okay, I've got it all together now," and then go back to life as usual. No, it took some time to get where we are, and it's going to take some time to get out of where we are. We had 12 days of fasting last year. We did it 4 separate times. And we had 30 days of praying in October. I think that's awesome. I mean, if I had a hero button, I'd give you one. I mean, it's awesome that we were able to do that. But that's not enough. That got us thinking about some greater things. And this 21 days is not going to be the end for us. It's going to be the beginning for us of new and exciting things. But it's going to take some time. That's why 21 days is important. You know, one of the things that I'll talk about the next time I'm on the subject is about Daniel. When Daniel fasted for 21 days, when an angel of the Lord showed up with an answer for him, Daniel wondered why the prayer wasn't answered back on the first day. And those of you who have read this know this to be true. He said, "The reason it took me so long to get to you is I had to fight the devil himself to get here. There was resistance." So there's going to be resistance. Boy, I hate to be negative in a positive message, but let me just tell you this real quick, and I'll come back to it later. This is not going to be easy. And your adversary is going to come up with every reason, every excuse for you not to do this. I heard Jensen Franklin that was speaking this morning, and he's talking about this very subject. He said, your body's going to tell you you're dying. You're dying. Your heart's beating funny. You know, I'm not going to make it. I can't make it through one day of fasting. That's what the enemy will do. He'll come along and tell you all kinds of stuff. Say, "You can't do this." They try to rob you of this. You know, and I thought about that. And maybe you know somebody. I don't know of anybody who's died from fasting spiritually. And even Jensen Franklin said, "I know a lot of people die from overeating. But I don't know anybody died from lack of eating. Especially in a spiritual fast." And I don't believe God would ask us to do something to be harmful for us. So, you will begin to seek God's will. Now, I need to tell you that your will is to resist the very thought of fasting. That's your will. Don't you wish I was talking about the Christmas story? Like I do every year? I always have a nice series of about 5 weeks to talk about Christmas to kind of get us all in the mood. That's your will. That's my will, too, in many ways. I told you last week, I keep telling myself, "Are you out of your mind asking people to do this? How are we going to do it?" You know, that is sheer folly and foolishness. Your will is to resist it. Your will is to conjure up every possible excuse not to fast. "Well, you know, Pastor, I could really do this, but, you know, I'm too old to do this now." Oh, yeah, me too. "Oh, Pastor, I'd do this, but, you know, I'm too young to be doing this, you know. Oh, Pastor, I'd do this, but I'm just too skinny to do this. Well, I'm just too fat to do this." I take too many medicines. I don't take enough medicines. You know, I've got problems. I don't have any problems. You know, all the excuses will come up to you. And believe me, someone who doesn't like you very well is going to give you every reason not to do this. Every reason in the world. Yeah, but Pastor, you see, I'm the exception to the rule because I really can't do this. Oh, okay. You might convince yourself of that. You can't convince me. Every excuse possible. In fact, if you want to help yourself get over this, today, get a piece of paper and write down every reason why you can't do this. Every, just think of them all. Let the devil give you every one. Write them all down. It's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you, Lord. And then put a match to it and burn it up. This is our moment in time. This is your opportunity to do this. Do not let your will and the will of the devil come along and say, you can't do it. And you might say, Pastor, it's too hard. I couldn't do 3 days when you asked us to do it. I went 3 hours. I had to have a Twinkie. You will be so sorry if you let your will overshadow you in this issue. Don't do it. Don't let the enemy rob you of this great opportunity that God is presenting. You know, I know this is God because in the natural, I just wouldn't do it. I really wouldn't. I'm not any more excited about the physical aspects of it than you are. But let me tell you something. This morning I woke up, and I always get up early on Sunday morning, you know, and I go over my message again, make sure I've got all the thoughts, and pray a little while and to get ready to come here. And I usually eat a light breakfast on Sunday morning. I don't like it. You know, I'll eat some cereal or maybe some toast. And I was going to do that, and I heard that little small voice said, why don't you just not eat this morning? I said, well, you know, I don't feel good, Lord, when I don't eat. You know, I got to have something because I burn up a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to stand up here and talk for as long as I do. Some of you think, well, maybe you ought to not talk so long, but that's not going to happen. You know? But I heard that, and I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, God, I hear you loud and clear. I just won't have anything this morning. I'll just drink some water and that's it. I'll take some breath. I got some breath things so I don't smell too bad. By the way, Dennis, would you get several cases of those things that make us smell good? We're probably going to need them. But begin now to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit to begin to tell you some things, okay? Getting you prepared for January. On January the 5th, we're going to kick this off. But between now and then, look for little. The Lord may ask you to fast a day right now. I don't know. You know, so just, you know, He did it for me. Maybe He asked you to do it too. This is going to be so exciting. But if you think it's too hard, it will be. If you think you can't do it, you won't. But if you have a hunger for God, if you really want to know God in a way that you did, or maybe a way that you always wanted to, this is our opportunity. You might say, well, Pastor, God hasn't called me to fast. That's your calling, but it's just not mine. Well, let me tell you why. Let me explain some of the rules to you. The rules are, God calls men to minister over a flock of people, and God calls the men that He calls to minister over a flock of people, to lead them in a direction. And God has called me to lead you. You can't say to me, that's not my calling, it is your calling. If you're a part of this fellowship and this is where God's called you to be, I'm calling you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So, don't tell me it's not your calling. It is. Now, I don't say that lightly. And you know me, I don't put a lot of heat on you about things, but I'm telling you, this is a very important moment in time for us. I want you now to begin to visualize what you will experience when this fast is over. And we're going to lay out some things, and we're going to pray about specific things, and we'll give you the opportunity to write those things down in a way so that we can pray about them individually and collectively so that you'll know where you're going. So it's not just fasting for 21 days. It's fasting with a spiritual goal in mind, okay? These are the things that are going to happen. Think about the feasting and not about the fasting. The fasting will take care of itself. If you got a good vision in your mind and in your heart about what God's calling you to do, you can do it. You can do this and it'll be a lot easier for you. In closing, visualizing that you will remember God, where God had brought you from, and what things used to be like. Visualize your return to God in a very special kind of way, and visualize your resolve to seek His will. Now, next week, I'm going to bring a Christmas message because it is Christmas. But the Christmas message title is going to be Fresh Christmas Bread. And somewhere in there, you will hear this thing about fasting. I don't know how, but you will hear about it. But the following week, God willing, I intend to preach a sermon, and I've entitled it, I've got it written down here, what is a purpose-driven fast? What is a purpose-driven fast? And we're going to talk about the purposes and the kinds of fasts that are in the Scriptures and how those will apply to our lives. All right? Y'all feel full? A little chipmunk, you know, spiritually full? Really challenged? Okay? This is a challenge to you. This is good. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. It's going to be miraculous. For some of you, it's going to be the miracle of miracles. Because you're saying to yourself, there ain't no way, Brother Morris. There ain't no way. But I'll tell you, it is going to be done because we are going to do it together. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I would normally apologize for going over, but this one sermon took me two things to get through. So I guess it's an indication of things to come. Father, we thank you that you would even count us worthy to be able to come boldly to your throne of grace, and that you would count us worthy to call us to pray and to fast and to intercede for our family, for ourselves, for our community, for our nation, for the world. Father, we trust you. We believe in you. Speak to our hearts this coming week and the weeks ahead to prepare us for that which you've called us to do. We bend and bow to you, our King and our Savior, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Miss Gail? Oh, yes. Don, would you put out the love offering basket? Thank you for reminding me about that. This is a special offering for the GLOW ministry, okay, which is taking care of those in need. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.